Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Oh, hello, it's Stephen Scott with you this week.
And hello, happily again with you, I am Tim Schwartz.
Hey! Welcome along to the show. Yes, this is your technology show, Tech Talk. Hello, Tim Schwartz. How are you this week, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Stephen Scott?
I'm good. No Sean this week, by the way. He can't be bothered. Is that what he said?
Yeah, I think something about the fact that he just can't stand us anymore. He stomped out of the room in a fit. So, yeah, he just can't be bothered to show up this week, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so work shy. No, we do believe he's having some things done at his shed at home, which means his shed and his recording facility is unavailable. That's a shame. Well, I hope his shed is feeling better soon. Coming up this week, we have got more of your emails. And I have to say, Tim, our email inbox every single week is bulging.
Hey, definitely not a bad thing. Nice that people are getting in touch. We really do appreciate when people do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and keep them coming in as well. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. I also want to talk a bit about the podcast later as well. Getting a lot of emails in about that and lots of question marks around our RNIB Tech Talk podcast. So I want to answer some of those questions. In case you've been wondering how it's all working now, I'll explain later. Also, we'll try and cram in some news stories for you as well. And as well as all of that, this week we're kind of having a bit of a special, I suppose, because we are joined by the guys from Dolphin Computer Access. It's a technology company that makes specialist software for blind and partially sighted people. You might have heard of their products like Supernova, Guide, etc. Well, we're going to be talking more about that and finding out more about the kinds of products they make, and also some new ones as well, Tim, including a new set-top box that reads books to you. Sounds quite good, doesn't it?
That sounds fantastic. I think that's something that's going to be very popular with people that use Dolphin products. I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing more about the company. It's one we haven't talked about enough, frankly. So that's all coming up on this week's Tech Talk. So coming up this week, yes, lots of news as well. If we can cram it in, we will. One story that's kind of doing the rounds that's interesting me, Tim, and it's the story around Apple and their latest operating system for the Mac, which rumour has it will include the ability to run iOS apps.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing if this works out, Stephen, because honestly, I think it's long overdue. We've talked about them marrying Mac and iOS, the OS and iOS together. And I think to incorporate iOS apps is a good step forward for Mac and trying to make it all integrated and have a seamless experience between the two. So I think this can only be a good thing if it's done right.
But the question is, does that mean that we're going down the route of touchscreen Macs? This is the interesting thing, you see, because, I mean, how can you use an iOS app without that?
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to be talking about that a bit later. But yeah, I want to kick things off with our special this week with Dolphin. The guys have dropped in. Steve Bennett is from Dolphin. He works as the sales director for the company. He's been there for 18 years. I mean, you know, come on. Also with us is James Goldworthy. Now, James runs his own company called Alternate Visions Coaching, and he's an assistive technology trainer. He is also using assistive technology from Dolphin as well. Both join me now. Great to have you here, guys.
Oh, thank you for inviting us.
I want to start with you, Steve, because I think a lot of people are aware of the name Dolphin. And I don't mean the thing that swims around in water. We're talking about the company. And, you know, when you talk to blind and partially sighted people, that name is known. But for those who maybe aren't aware of it, maybe perhaps are interested in learning about the different types of accessible assistive software that's out there, maybe you can tell us a bit about Dolphin.
Oh, good. That's lovely. Thank you, Stephen. So people will be perhaps familiar with our biggest selling product, which is Supernova. So Supernova comes in what I like to call three flavors. So it comes in the magnifier, the magnifier in speech, and the magnifier in screen reader. So those are for Windows, Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows 10 PCs. And we also support a platform called Citrix, which is used by higher sort of larger companies. So those are easily our biggest selling and perhaps the biggest reason that people may have heard of us. Our magnification software is just excellent at the moment. And our screen reading, I think, is improving and improving, and that's because of the market conditions at the moment. Other products that we make a free app for iOS, Apple, and Android called Easy Reader. So that gives access, direct access to some of the libraries. So not too much in the UK, just the RNIB Bookshare, which is the education. But there'll be an announcement next month about support for RNIB Overdrive in the app as well. There's some other couple of things. Hopefully Calibre will come along as well. So free app, download the books by putting your password in, just let them download and you can just open them straight in the app, play, and regardless of the device, completely free. And then we make Easy Converter, which is quite a high-end tool from converting the likes of PDFs into large print braille, MP3 or digital talking books. And lastly, Guide, which a lot of people may be familiar with. So Dolphin Guide is the simple to use piece of software that has 25 functions to use on the computer, like email, browsing the web, scanning, writing letters and documents, email, those types of things. So it's a closed off environment. So rather uniquely, I think, of companies, we make everything that we sell. Here in the UK. So that's from our office here in Worcester, which is about 25 miles southwest of Birmingham. And actually, that's not quite correct. We do make some of that stuff in our office in Sweden, and that's where the accessible materials content is made, like Easy Reader. So that's in a small town called Falköping in Sweden, where we have a team of developers there as well.
But aside where it's actually built, in fact, it's supported here in the UK, which is a major boost, I guess. I mean, in these days of being sent off to call centres who knows where and dealing with people who haven't actually touched or used the software directly, they're just working off a script, your guys aren't doing that. Your guys use this, they know about it, they've worked on it.
You're absolutely right. So if you call Dolphin, you come through to our support staff. So all of the people in there have a vision impairment. So that's not why we recruited them. We recruited them because they were good at the dark job. It just happened that they have a vision impairment. But it doesn't do any harm because they can understand the problems people are occurring. It's direct support from those people. So you buy support from the people that manufacture the software. And if you want to make a complaint and you say, I want to speak to the sales director, they just put you straight through to my phone. So that's how approachable I am.
That's fantastic. Now, James, you have used, is it Supernova you use, isn't it? That's your software of choice.
Well, Supernova and God, I actually use them both.
Right, okay.
I train on both and use both. So yeah. Both, really.
Now, I think a lot of people might think, as I certainly did for a while, and I'm happy to be corrected and will be, that Supernova was a magnification product. But actually, it's more than that. It's also a screen reader, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you've got, as Steve said, that it comes in the three flavours. I myself use the speech side of it because I've got absolutely no vision whatsoever. So it's very, very usable as a speech-only product. But similarly, you know, I've got a lot of people who I work with have some level of magnification and also use the speech as well. So there's a great degree of versatility in being able to run both at the same time, or just one or just the other. So it's really very good.
It's an interesting thing because I don't think we've ever had a conversation on this program about Supernova as a standalone screen reader. And I'm really glad you brought this up because I think a lot of people tend to think that programs like Supernova and, you know, let's bring it up. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, Zoom Text. You know, but Zoom Text as well, which is obviously from EI Squared, US-based and all of that. They are, and you are producing this software, which is magnification and speech. I never really saw it as a piece of software you would use as a screen reader only, but obviously you do find that not only useful, it's what you use all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with it at all. And obviously, the way that I'll use the computer will be slightly different because I'm using entirely key commands. But there's nothing really that I can't do, and it doesn't matter that I can't see anything on the screen at all. So it works really very well indeed. It's the thing I've noticed with Supernova over the years is it's always been a pretty good stable product anyway, and I would say comfortably in the last 5 years, it's just gone from strength to strength to strength. And we're on, you know, version 16 at the moment, and it's really good. I really like it. It doesn't crash all the time. You know, you can move around it. It's nice and clear. The speech is good. The voices are good. It's nothing. Yeah, it ticks all the boxes for me.
I mean, I've got to say from a personal perspective, I was put onto Zoom Text at the beginning, and that was because that's what my access to work person told me I should get. I didn't get a choice in it. I was told this is what you're getting, and that's what I ended up with. And actually, I've been out of umpteen trade shows, Site Village, TechShare, around the world, even at events, and I've met the guys from Dolphin there who are always the best laugh at parties, by the way, and always the best laugh at these events. And, you know, I have a look at the software. And, you know, at the time, my sight was a bit better, so magnification would have worked. And I was so impressed by Supernova, Steve. I mean, it's such a good piece of software. A lot of hard work has clearly gone into it.
Well, it has, and that's because of the partying we do, I think. So, it's a work hard, play hard ethos here at Dolphin.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, all these products, I think... sometimes the accessibility companies get a bad show, really. But one of the things that having competing with Zoom Text over the years has done is moved us forwards in terms of features, reliability, and ensuring that we maintain something that people can use in work and leisure. Okay, and they can have total access to what they want to be able to do on the PC. So that competition has been excellent for I think for everybody involved. It's also kept the price relatively stable. Without having one, if you had one company in there, then obviously the price would be driven up. Mm. As far as we're concerned, our product in terms of the magnification and the speech and the braille support now is as good as it's ever been. And that's a tribute to the development team here. We have just some excellent people who understand video and Windows and how the screen reading works. And it's a hostile environment at times, Windows, for them. They're literally trying to make it do something that it was designed specifically not to do. And that's a lot of the time is making sure the magnification, the synchronization of that with the braille and the speech is there. So, and they're just doing a great job at the moment, I have to say. And it's just a pleasure to show off with the product.
What's really nice to do here, and this is why I was really glad to get you guys on, because I kind of want to dispel a lot of myths around some of this software. You know, I mean, first of all, the myth that, you know, as I thought that Supernova was really more for people who had some sight, who maybe needed a bit of reading as well. But actually, as you're saying, James, you've got no sight, you're using it as a screen reader. The other thing is, we often talk about cost of this software being a barrier. And, you know, cost can be a barrier if you can't afford it, simple as that. But in comparison to, and I'm not making direct comparisons, but if we were thinking about buying a screen reader, I suppose naturally I would think of JAWS. And a lot of people do, and that's why a lot of people, especially people in employment, tend to use JAWS. Again, probably forced on them by an access to work person who only knows that company or that product. But the cost of your software is lower than JAWS.
It depends on which version you're actually you're picking up. But if you're talking about the magnification on its own, it's £295. Now, this isn't a perpetual cost. It's a one-off. And then the magnification with speech is £395. So if you ask us, we'll give you a discount if you're registered visually impaired. And of course, there's no VAT in that figure I've just quoted. So we've got that there. So the magnification, the speech and the braille is £835. So it's more expensive, but it's cheaper than the professional version of JAWS. And it's also got the speech and the magnification and the braille in there as well. So, yeah,
That work in terms of...
We're not rich people, that's for sure.
No, but you're never going to make a million off this, I'd imagine. But then no, I guess you don't really want to. This is about providing access to people. But at the same token, you do need to make money. You do need to cover your costs. You need to build the software. And, you know, it can't get to the level it's at without people paying for it. But what I would say is, you know, and I'm not making direct comparisons with these because, again, all these products are very different in what they do and requirements are different everywhere. This is about... And what I'm doing here is just trying to showcase the choice that's available. And that's why I think this is a great conversation. But you know, looking at that entire package, is that something that you pay off once and that's it? Or in a couple of years' time, are you hit with another bill because you need to upgrade the whole thing? How does it work going forward? So you buy your software today, the top-end package with everything. What happens in a couple of years' time?
Yeah, okay. It's entirely up to you. I mean, if you're on, for instance, Windows 7 and you've bought any of those packages, then it's very unlikely that you'll need anything else on it. You can just use your Windows 7 because it doesn't change. Okay. Windows 10 has sort of changed that a little bit. So at the moment, we would guarantee it will work with your Windows 10 and it will work with the Office suite that comes with that and the peripheral things that come with Windows suite as well. Sort of Microsoft keep changing stuff in the back of Windows 10, which breaks it a little bit at times. And that's because... Like, coming back to it, it's a hostile environment. We are making it do things that it wasn't designed to do. So basically, sometimes that means that when they change something, the way we detected the text on the screen for speaking, for brailing, for magnification might be gone. So I want to tell you that it's a one-off cost. But the reality is occasionally you may need to buy an upgrade because Windows has changed in the background. And Windows 10, the only thing that doesn't change at times with Windows 10 is the name itself, Windows 10. A lot changes in the background.
Okay. Yeah. James, you must be finding this a bit of a nightmare with all of this, as I do as well, you know, because Microsoft decide to do something with Windows. They come up with a Friday night idea. And then suddenly the operating system looks entirely different. And for us, it can be even worse.
Absolutely. And obviously, we can't stress enough here, actually, that obviously the guys at Dolphin, whether it's Dolphin, whether it's JAWS, anybody else like that, all of these companies are effectively playing catch up with Windows when they do that. So they've got a massive, massive job to do to try and make sure that their product remains accessible. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There's nothing worse than, you know, you have your weekend off and then Monday morning you come back into work or turn your computer on and everything's changed or some of it's changed and that bit doesn't do what it did on Friday, but now I've got to do something different. It's just an absolute nightmare. But I think that the stability of things like Supernova, obviously Guide because it's self-contained anyway, means that you've got a degree of familiarity there where actually if what used to work on Friday doesn't necessarily work now, there's normally a couple of other options you've got to look around that, which, and I really like that. I think gone are the days now where, you know, I can remember going back 10 years, you know, if that happened, you'd be absolutely stuck until you had somebody sighted come around to tell you what on earth was going on the screen and being able to work around that. That's really not the case anymore. You can work your way through it and use your computer again, which is great. I really like that.
Okay, well, stick around because we are going to come back to you guys. We want to talk about Guide and some other products that you've got. Right before that, this.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Don't we just?
Here's your mail today.
And Chris is back with us. Hey, Chris.
Hello, Tech Talkers. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Chris. Thanks so much for coming back and helping us.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. I must say, with the amount of weekly wine that is going on in the emails, it's a real pleasure to come. It's like going to a bar on a Friday night. It's fantastic.
Kind of gets you set up for the rest of the day, huh?
I have to say, we maybe better start whining responsibly around here because I think we're going to end up in trouble. But yeah, let's time to uncork that bottle. There it is. Oh, every week it's a joy. It's a lovely sound, that, actually. Right. Into the email inbox, and yes, the first email is a whine.
A whine from Gordon, who says, "Hello, Tech Talk team. Seeing as the weekly whine seems to be a feature, I thought I'd share my latest gripe. I rely on audio description on TV shows, but have discovered that watching Sky channels means AD is not always available, even when advertised. For example, my wife and I settled down to watch the Lethal Weapon TV show on STV, but there was no AD track. It turns out that this is only available on the STV HD channel. I've had similar problems with BBC programmes in the past. If you watch on BBC London or BBC HD, you get the AD track, but it's not available on BBC Scotland, even though it is advertised as being available. So a blind TV viewer needs to pay for HD channels just to get the AD track. As we say in Scotland, it's a wrecked scunner."
Yeah, yeah. And if you can work out what that means outside of Scotland, then good luck to you. Basically, he means he's not very happy about it. Yeah, Gordon, thanks for the email. Tim, I mean, you know, from your point of view, I want to kind of start from your perspective, because you're probably wanting to shout to Gordon, "Yeah, try living in the States."
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. Yes, because we have regulated here where a certain amount of TV networks have to provide audio described content for a certain amount of hours per week, and only certain markets of the country. And oh my gosh, really, it's just, it's tricky depending on where you live here to get the audio description, because it's slowly being pushed out throughout the country. And even if you can get access to it, again, like Gordon said, you don't always get the full access to it. It says, oh, it should have audio description, or one week it might, and then the next week it doesn't, or whatever the issue. So I can completely empathize with what Gordon is going through. And I know that a lot of things can be done here. Of course, you may want to just contact BBC Scotland, see what's going on there. If they are advertising it, very possibly, Stephen, as you know, maybe somebody just didn't hit the right AD button. So it might be just a matter of being an oversight. Who knows? But my grief with this, and I know you feel the same way, Stephen, is if it's been recorded, if the audio description is out there, why aren't they providing it? Why isn't it there? It should just be there across the board.
It is insane. And I don't want to take the credit for being the provider of audio description to Scottish audiences, but here's a story that might interest you, right? I was sitting watching TV one night, going through exactly the same experience. I think we couldn't get audio description on any of the Scottish TV programme channels. Now, for those who don't know, STV is Scotland's ITV, if you're in the UK. So if you're up in Scotland, you get Scottish television, as opposed to ITV, what's it stand for? Independent television, I guess?
Yes.
We weren't getting any AD, and the only way to get AD was to go to the ITV channel. And of course, the problem is there that things like in Scotland, for example, the series link doesn't work. So, you know, if you wanted to record things like Coronation Street, yes, I do like it, okay. then, you know, you've got that problem that you can't record every episode, but you did get the AD on the ones you got. Anyway, the point is, I got in touch with a friend of mine who works at Scottish Television, and I said, "I don't suppose there's something on the board there in STV that says audio description and a way of turning it on." Well, there was a button that he had to press. He'd gone into the technical room. His friend, the guy who does all the engineering stuff, pressed the button. And there we are. He said, "Right, try it now." And it was on. So I'll maybe make the same phone call, Gordon, and see if we can get it on the other STV channel as well, because it seems bizarre that it's on STV HD, but not on STV not HD. So we'll try and figure that one out. BBC's a bit more tricky. I have been in contact with the BBC to find out what the deal is there, because this isn't a problem just for Scotland, of course. This is a problem for all the regions of the UK. The only way to get audio description is on the main BBC One HD channel, which comes, I guess, from London. Bizarre that they can't put that out on all the other channels, and it seems to be quite tricky to find the right person to do it. But yes, we shall persevere, but I absolutely, absolutely sympathise with you on that. That's not the only one. Should we uncork another one? That's lovely, isn't it?
Feeling better already.
Our next email is from Rebecca Skipper, who says, "Hi, I'm self-employed and tend to accept jobs only when I know that the workflow is compatible with the software and assistive technology that I use. I have had some jobs that I had inaccessible software that required hours of scripting. Vocational rehabilitation agencies have differing policies when it comes to supporting the self-employed, and I fear applying to or accepting any job offer before I know whether or not I can do the work required using JAWS and Windows 10 with Office 365. The good news is that as a freelancer, I have more flexibility, and it is so rewarding when I can just do a job without the stresses associated with inaccessible apps and poorly designed websites. It is better, frankly, to be self-employed and working than not doing anything at all." And that's from Mel. No, sorry, that's from Rebecca Skipper.
Yeah, and thank you, Rebecca, for that. Now, Rebecca's in the States. And, Tim, I guess it must be different. Well, you tell me. I mean, I know we have things here like access to work schemes in the UK that help people get into work and help provide equipment. Anything similar to that in the States?
We do have a very similar program here in the States that's provided through Social Security Administration partnering with the states. They call that Ticket to Work. So if you are receiving benefits from Social Security Administration, you automatically qualify for this Ticket to Work program where you go to your local vocational rehabilitation service or blind rehabilitation service, and they will work with you on a number of things. But some of that is included with getting a job or having a job and getting whatever you need, whether it's a CCTV or JAWS or, you know, Zoom text, whatever it might be that you need for that particular job, the state will work on getting that for you, even work on getting training for you. And then Social Security Administration, through the Ticket to Work program, reimburses the states and pays for that because you qualify for disability. She's right that when it comes to self-employment is a little bit different when it comes to how the state will treat you. Social Security Administration doesn't really have any qualms about that or how that works, but the states sometimes can be different when it comes to that. But either way, I mean, she makes a good point. If you want to take a job or have a job, you do want to work with the employer as close as you can to make sure that you know that you're going to get things accessible. But having the employer work with you in conjunction with the state all at the same time, or a trainer from a local association for the blind or whoever might be coming in to help you with the equipment, you've got to open that conversation up for everybody. I've had that experience where I took a job. I said to them, "We can make this accessible. Don't worry." They hired me in. And then with the help of a local agency, I was able to get somebody in the talk to the management there and say, "Yes, I can make this accessible. We can do this." And we had to work together to make that happen. Being self-employed, obviously, you know, takes it to a different level.
Yeah, and I think it's exactly the same here. It used to be the case that if you were self-employed in the UK, it was very difficult to get any kind of funding at all because you were on your own. That has changed, though, and it seems that a lot of the provisions that exist for getting people into employment, maybe it's travel, maybe it's support worker, maybe it's technology, then those aspects are covered now for not just those who are in full-time employment, but also self-employment as well. So yeah, but an interesting point to bring up, Rebecca, and I'm glad you brought it up. That, you know, it's interesting that the topics that are coming up in under the heading of wine, because, you know, when you use the word wine, someone said this to me the other week. They said, you know, you shouldn't really call it wines because that's not, you know, that's not very fair. And I said, well, okay, but it comes under, it has to be called something. And, you know, weekly wine sounds good. So, you know, and plus, if I guess, an excuse to play the jingle. So, you know, let's be fair here.
Yeah, but if we can't be tongue-in-cheek on something here on Tech Talk, well, then what's the fun? Here.
Exactly. but yeah, speaking of wines, I think we need to uncork one more. I think one more is enough.
Oof.
Go on, Chris.
Lovely. So our final wine for the day is from Mel, and she says, "Hi, Tech Talkers. I just wanted to share my glass of wine with you all. Would like to know if anyone has the same problem as me with the eBay app in iOS. I'm running my latest version of iOS on my iPhone 6S. I'm also using the most up-to-date version of eBay. The eBay app is very accessible up to the point of paying at the checkout.
Uh-oh.
The payment button is dimmed because I cannot find any way to tick the terms and conditions checkbox. I have tried changing the various ROTA settings and VoiceOver, but still had no success with completing my payments. I have contacted eBay about this issue, but so far I haven't seen any change in the app. Am I doing something wrong? Any suggestions would be appreciated. Many thanks, guys. From Mel.
Well, Mel, we shall put that out there. What about you, Tim? I mean, I've never used eBay since the whole PayPal connection thing. And it's only because I had a bad experience once. Nothing to do with eBay, actually, but it was just a bad experience I had, and I just never used it again. I found Amazon, basically, and it was a lot easier. But yeah, that was for me. But I don't know, have you used eBay?
I have used eBay, and Mel is correct. The app is really accessible. You can search and bid on things and get all kinds of information there. You can sort and filter through things very easily with the app, and it is a nice experience up until you get to the point of payment. And unfortunately, this is something that I've seen in a lot of apps where you have a checkbox for agreeing to licenses or services or whatever it might be, and that checkbox just seems to not be there. I see this sometimes in Safari on my iPhone as well, where I'm going down the page and it says accept the terms below to continue. And you know it's got to be a checkbox, and you just can't find it. And I look all over the place, even go into landscape mode or something just to try to find it. And even sometimes if I hear it read, I still can't double tap on it to select it. So I think this is a common problem, not just with the eBay app, but with other apps and websites as well when it comes to certain checkboxes. I don't know if it's a programming issue. I'm not sure what it is. But what I've had to do the few times, I haven't used eBay a lot lately, but if I've done that, either, of course, go to the old sighted assistance route or go to the website, log in on your desktop computer, and it is a little bit more accessible there to be able to check that box and then continue on. So unfortunately, you can do everything on your phone up to that point and then maybe just have to go to the website. But hopefully eBay will get this corrected. They're usually pretty good about accessibility. I don't know about responses to things like this, but I know just making it accessible they're good at. So maybe we can get a fix from this.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll get this sorted out. They won't, you know, I assume they want people to buy things.
Yes.
It is the purpose of the place after all. So that could be useful. I mean, you know, look, tell us what you think. If maybe you found a solution to it or a way around it. I mean, I guess the question is, if you have to turn VoiceOver off in order to do it, then that's an issue, surely, with the app. If you can do it with VoiceOver on, then please do tell us. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Really good email. Thank you for that, Mel. And hopefully we'll get a resolution on it. Okay, let's go to another one.
We had an email from Greg this week following up on Simon's question last week about getting music onto your iPhone without using iTunes. So Greg says, for playing music on your iPhone or iPad, as Simon wants to do, I use a fully accessible app called Music Streamer, which lets you browse and play audio files that are on any computer or network drive on your Wi-Fi network. It works great, but you do have to be on the Wi-Fi network to use it. And he's provided a link to the Music Streamer app, which we'll provide on Twitter.
Certainly will. That sounds like a good one, Tim.
That really does sound like a good one. Sounds very similar in theory to how Plex works. So I'll have to give this one a try, Music Streamer.
Yeah.
I like anything that I can use, especially on an iPhone where you don't have an SD, you know, card slot available to expand your memory. If you can get anything into the phone some other way, so on a server like this, using that or some other sort of, you know, other device, it's so nice to be able to bring things into the iPhone in a much easier and cleaner fashion. So yeah, I really appreciate this email because I've been looking for something to use on my iPhone like this. So yeah, we'll definitely check that out.
And there's one more email that we got in, Chris, this week that I wanted to bring up because it's a good news story.
I know. Hold on to your seats. Email from Billy Burrell, who says, hi, Stephen, Sean, Tim and company. I wanted to let you and your listeners know about the latest function to be added to the In Your Pocket device. I'm sure Stephen mentioned it when he did the Tech Talk special about the In Your Pocket and its phone function. I can't stress how easy it is to use, and the developers have really put a lot of effort into making it that way. When you hold your device and draw an uppercase L from the top left to bottom right of the device's screen, a touch screen appears. I believe this is split into four segments. The four parts or segments are accessible call, call contact, dial number, and settings. Each of these can be activated by placing your finger on the desired one and then lifting it, which enables you to access whichever option you require. To use the assistance call function, you have to input a number of your choice into the assistance call section, for example, your wife or husband or your partner or whoever. Then if you find yourself in a situation where you're unsure of where you are, for example, which I'm sure we all have had at some point, you can activate this by pressing the power button 3 times on your device, and this alerts the person nominated in your assistance call section to your whereabouts and then automatically dials them. Ideal for those crisp packet hedge hunting expeditions.
Oh, that'll be our Sean he's talking about then. Right, okay.
That method works on the Samsung devices, but I believe there are other ways of calling for assistance on other makes and models of phone. Dialing a contact or a number couldn't be easier, as you can do this by using the touchscreen in the way described earlier or by voice command. Just press the talk button and ask your device to call a particular number or a contact from your phone book. Storing contacts in your phone book has never been easier too, because you can do this by typing in the name and number manually by saying type number, and an ABC keypad appears, which can be easily changed to a QWERTY keyboard by touching a button. The keypad works by touch and release rather than double tapping, which I find a lot quicker to use. You can also input names and numbers by pressing the talk button and saying add contact, and the device will ask you for the name and number, and when you say them, the device installs the contact for you and then asks you to confirm that you wish to save contact. It really is that easy. Maybe easier said than read. I was invited to join the beta testing group for the phone function on the Samsung, and I found it so easy to use, and there are even more improvements in the pipeline, which are to be introduced in the future, including email and text messaging. You can already receive text messages, though at present you can't send them. I know some people will say that these are basic functions, but when you consider that the In Your Pocket was only introduced last year as a device for playing media such as newspapers, books, magazines, and podcasts, things have come a long way in a short period already. Another thing to consider is that the telephone function is available for no extra charge, and you get unlimited UK calls and all of the media you can still access for the original price of £20 a month. I honestly believe that the In Your Pocket phone is an ideal solution for those people who are unsure or not confident about using a smartphone, and I would definitely recommend it. Thanks for continuing to make a great show and keep up the good work. Best regards from Billy Burrell.
Ah, we certainly will, Billy. Thank you for the email. Really appreciate that. Chris, thank you once again for coming in and reading through the emails.
You're most welcome. Always a pleasure to be in your company, Stephen, and you, Tim.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're talking with Dolphin today, and we're finding out about some of their products on the show. James is also with us. He uses assistive technology. In particular, he uses Supernova. With the screen reading side of it, because James is totally blind. And guys, thank you again for being on the programme this week. I just wanted to talk about Guide for a moment, because we've been doing a bit of myth-busting on the show today with you guys, and I think this has been really interesting to talk about products that perhaps might seem to some as either simple products or entry-level products, but actually are very much about leisure and just about relaxing and actually using your computer to the best of its abilities. Steve, if I can come to you first, and maybe you can sort of give us a bit of an overview of what Guide is.
Yeah, so Guide gives you a different interface to Windows. So effectively, you don't need Office or any other application on Windows. You just need a copy of Windows. So it installs a self-contained package, which we call Guide. And in that, you have 25 features, of which they run email, letters and documents, going on the web. Then we have scanning and reading. Then you can download books. You can listen to podcasts. You can listen to the radio. You can do Skype. I won't bore everybody by going on and on all through them. But the strength of Guide is the weakness of Windows, which is every application in Windows has a different interface. And Guide has the same interface for all 25 applications. So if you've learned to do something like email, where you go in, you press the number to go in and select it, and then you pick the task, you press escape to go backwards. Now you've learned them all. So it's a much simpler to use interface. And James has had some, in particular, has had some great success on training people who would find it difficult to use something like Supernova and Windows and that learning task that's involved in understanding that environment as well. So he might be able to give you more examples.
Okay. If I can use an example, when I first started my business, my second ever client, she was a little old lady. She was 84 at the time. She'd never touched a computer. All she'd ever done was used an old-fashioned typewriter. So that's the only keyboard you should ever had. And she got in contact with me and she said, I want to use one of these computer thingies because my daughter's just moved to New Zealand and I want to be able to do this Skypey thing so I can talk to her and I want to send some emails. Okay, fine. So I took a demonstration guide around, showed her, had, let her have a go, taught her a few bits and pieces. And she's well away. We're 4 years down the line now. And I still occasionally get an email from that lady just saying, hi, James, just to let you know, I'm still speaking to, insert daughter's name here, and I'm using my computer, I love it, and, you know, the freedom that that's given that lady is just fantastic. It's not massively complicated to learn. As I say, she'd never had any previous computer experience. And, you know, that's just a really good, one of my favourite examples, I think, when I think of the ease of accessibility of something like Guide. But equally, you know, I've got people that I've trained that have written books. They've written their life memoirs, and they've done all of that on Guide as well, you know, using the word processing element of Guide. It's just really, really good. It's simple to use. It's versatile enough that you can do most things. You can scan and read your post if you want to. You can't go wrong with it, really, in my opinion.
And I think that's the bit that's probably surprising people who are listening to this. They're thinking, well, you know, on the base of it, from what you've described, Steve, it sounds like a piece of software that's very much the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 approach. It seems quite simple. But when you actually use it, and I've downloaded Guide as a demo to try it, because I kind of wanted to see for myself what it was like. And the first thing I thought was ease of use, simplicity, and quite relaxing, actually, because you didn't have to constantly think, where am I, where's the box, where's the field that I'm supposed to fill in to do what I need to do, or where's the cursor gone now. I don't have to worry about any of that. I just arrow around and do what I need to do, choose the number I want. It seemed a very simple, leisurely system is how I would choose to refer to it.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree. One of the joys of training people like James has done significantly more than I, but I've done a fair share of it, is actually going back to do the second part of the training, and they're using the product.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've explored and they found little bits and they say, oh, I didn't realise I could listen to the radio. Or, you know, it's fantastic. It's brilliant. It's just great. It's one of the best parts of the job for me is going back to people and getting that kind of thing. There's something actually that we haven't mentioned with Guide, and I think it's quite an important point, is previously we were speaking about Supernova having both magnification and screen reading. Well, Guide also has magnification and screen reading. And you can use them independently or can use them in conjunction with each other. And that, again, is a really good, solid part of Guide that works. You know, the magnification is effectively the same as it is on Supernova. The speech, you know, the screen reading element, it's a simplified menus and user interface. It's just as good. It's a really, really good piece of software, and it's not expensive. You know, if you look at other software packages out there, it's if you're getting into computers for the first time, or you just want a simpler way of using a computer after you've lost some vision, then Guide's a really good option.
How much does it cost, Steve?
So Guide is it's a one-off cost, so it's £495, and again, if you're registered visually impaired, there's no VAT, and we give you a little bit of discount as well from that, so 15% if you ask for it.
Okay, so if I can be a bit geeky for a minute, what kind of hardware does this need to run on? What kind of computer should you have if you're thinking of buying this software, either Supernova or Guide?
Yeah, okay. So Supernova is more resource hungry on the PC. So, and it's not particularly Supernova, but people tend to load it with a version of Office that sucks RAM. And then they'll have 10 other things open on the computer. So you ideally, you want at least 4 gigabytes of RAM, but 8 would be much better if you can. And then I think anything i3 or above will work quite nicely. So there's no issues with anything that's got a Core i3 processor. If you're talking about guide, 2 wet pieces of string will just be fine. I've still got customers on Pentium 2s, if people can remember those.
Wow.
I was actually out with a lady last week who's still running Windows XP.
Yeah.
Or so, it's on an older version of guide, but it's still going, and, you know, it's a long way down the line. It's still chugging along.
Absolutely. So if you've got that 4 or 5 year old computer sat in the cupboard, download the demo guide and it'll just work. And that's because it's an application rather than looking to hunt around and use the processor a lot, which is what screen readers and magnification software do a little bit more of as well. So if you've got something that's got 2 gigabytes of RAM and it's a, one of these Atom processors that are kicking around now, you're never going to be unhappy with the speed of it.
That's really interesting, because I'm thinking about people who might have, I mean, this is common now, isn't it, that, you know, in families, you know, the son or daughter will have a laptop and, you know, within 5 minutes of owning it, it's, it's rubbish, and then it's flung to the side. That could be used, you know, give that to granny or give it to mum or whoever, and, you know, say, well, look, it's not got the greatest power on it, but at the same token, it can run this software. So you can put an old computer to use again.
Yeah, so I totally agree. It's just downloading the demo, which works in full for 30 days, trying it on an old computer, I think, is an excellent way. You can use, it only uses the function keys to actually to change any of the settings in the all, obviously the up, down arrow, enter and escape are the keys you use 95% of the time as you're moving through the menus and selecting things. So yeah, I think it's a really good way of testing without having to make the investment of any hardware.
That sounds brilliant. Yeah. That really does sound great. You've also got the Easy Reader app, which you talked about earlier, which is brilliant for getting access to those libraries of books, which is fantastic. And that's a free download on Apple iPhones, isn't it? It's not on Android.
Yeah, it's on both. So
it is on both.
iPad, okay. iPhone, Android tablet, Chromebooks, or Android phone.
And, you know, we can all agree that Windows Phone is a no-no. Or BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. the other thing I wanted to bring up with you, because I spotted it on your website and I thought, that's interesting, the Guide Reader Pod. What's that?
Okay, so that's had a little bit of a false start. So this month we'll see the release of Guide Reader as either an installable, so you can put it on an existing older computer or new computer, or you can buy it as a turnkey solution, which is it's like a set-top box, similar to the Apple idea. Mm-hmm. And what it'll do is it will connect to the online libraries that are available. So I mentioned RNIB Overdrive is coming in a couple of months, and that will be available within the Guide Reader software. So you can plug the pod into your TV and without having to worry too much about computing, you can use the Bluetooth handset to see the menus large, go and select the book you want or the newspaper you read, and then you can either read it on the TV or you can download it onto a separate reader that you have, perhaps a Stream or a Stratos or something of that ilk. Or you can just let the audio run on the TV, okay, and if it's an audio book. So it's a self-contained. So this product is designed for all of those people that really don't want to be bothered with the PC. It offers a solution in a menu-driven system, sort of guide-ish.
That sounds fantastic, actually. I guess that needs... It would need an online internet connection in order to work, like all of your products.
You're absolutely correct, Stephen. Yeah, it does. What we're hoping is for all those people that have had the book turn up, which is they're 20 pages into it and they realise they don't like it and they're going on holiday, You can download two or three books, make sure you like them, and then go off on holiday. Or you can download as many books as you wish and then return them into Overdrive. So it's the choice of being able to select the author, the genre, the title that you actually want to use, your choice.
I had the opportunity to actually test one of these things last year, and they are flipping brilliant. They are, put it this way, I use Audible and all of that sort of stuff. I'm going to buy one because I was so impressed with it. They really are excellent. They're really nice little unit. The little remote is intuitive. It's nice and tactile, and it works really, really well. I was gobsmacked, to be perfectly honest. I was really very, very impressed.
Well, that's got to be good feedback, Steve.
Well, and there was no party involved at all there. So yeah. I couldn't ask for more.
I will say this. At this point, I'm kind of thinking to myself, guys, please will you build a set-top box for TV? Because it sounds like you've got all the makings there for it. And since no one else can be bothered to do it, you should make an accessible set-top box for television. There you go. That's your next big job. Have a party. Talk about it. But no, you know, I think what you're doing is great, and I just wanted to tell people about it today. I'm really glad you came on to do that, Steve. You know, James, from your point of view, you know, you obviously do this. You're a musician. You obviously train people in assistive technology. Yep. I guess that you're seeing great strides here from what is brilliant and you know, a great UK British company.
It's excellent. I'll be honest. I lost my sight 15 years ago. And I started off, I'm pretty certain it was version 3 of Guide. It was way back when. And, you know, it was very, very basic then compared to what it is now. And I actually stuck with it the whole time because it took me a little while to learn, because there wasn't really people around giving training or anything back then. Mm. And, I taught myself how to use it. And every version of Guide's got better and better and better. And then, of course, a few years in, I started using Supernova as well. And it's been the same story with that, really. It's gone from strength to strength to strength. And I think we're not really at a stage like we were several years ago where there was software available, but it was so difficult to get into that people were just instantly put off. There's very much a feeling of, well, actually, this stuff's available. There's a lot of people using it. I'm going to have a go. And the fact that Dolphin offers its 30-day demos is a really, really good foot in the door for people to try out. I go around all the time with my work bag. I've always got some demo discs of both Supernova and Guide in there just so I can leave them with people. I will set them up for people and just leave them to have a play for a month. And it's a really, really good way. And the company itself... the guys there are great. You know, they're very, very approachable. I speak to the sales team quite a lot, and I speak to the technical support team quite a lot, whether it's referring people to them or having people refer to me. You know, it's a two-way street, but they're really approachable, they're really knowledgeable, and they're really friendly. So that, for me, I think makes it a good experience rather than the horrific experience it could have been many years ago.
And Steve, from your perspective, you know, and from the company, how can people get in contact with you and ask more questions about your software?
Yes, okay. So so I'm Steve Bennett at yourdolphin, yourdolphin.com. Our phone number here is it's a Worcester number, 01905-754-577. And our website, if you want to see or download any of the demos, is yourdolphin.com.
Steve and James, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for coming on to Tech Talk this week.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
Thanks to the guys at Dolphin, and check out the podcast as well. Speaking of the podcast, very quickly, search for us online, RNIB Tech Talk. Some of you asking the question of, why is there lots of other features on there? That's because we're trying to give you added value. But if you search down the list, you will find our episodes as always. So you get the episodes, and you also now get the features as well. So loads and loads of content. Speaking of podcasts, Mr. Tim Schwartz, Kelly Muggeridge was in touch last week. She said, what's happened to life after blindness? Do tell.
Well, I do appreciate Kelly's email and everyone who's been emailing me and contacting me on social media about the Life After Blindness podcast. And I did reply to Kelly directly, but I do just want to take a moment and say that the Life After Blindness podcast is back. I've been dealing with some personal issues and health issues the last many months, but the Life After Blindness podcast is back and up and going well once again. So everybody could just please check out lifeafterblindness.com for more information about that and to check out new episodes.
Yeah, and also because we've taken up so much of your time, quite frankly.
Yeah, you guys just always a call after another and text and just, hey, can you do this and that? And just I slave away here at Tech Talk, but it's all for good fun.
You love it.
I do.
We will hold off our chat until next week with the subject around Apple and all of the news we're going to get to. We've run right out of time, so we'll do that again soon on the next show, actually. And we're still going to do that extra. We were talking a while ago about doing a bit of an extra podcast around how we actually make the show. Lots of people asking that question. Well, we're going to do that soon. We've all promised to get together and do that. And we'll let you into all the secrets of behind the scenes at Tech Talk. Maybe not all the secrets.
Ooh, I was going to say, not all the secrets, Stephen. There's a few things not suitable for air, we'll say. But yes, that'll be a fun one to do.
Tim, great being with you. Sean will be back hopefully next week if he manages to get out of the shed or the hedge or wherever he's stuck at the moment. We'll catch you next time on Tech Talk. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks, everybody.